Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome once more to Food for the Journey. We move now to the second week of Advent, and I again want to encourage you, it's not too late. If you would like my CD entitled Journey Through Advent, I've put the four meditations for the four Sundays, just the four Sundays of Advent, on a CD which is available for purchase. To order our Journey Through Advent, go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. That's renewalministries.net/FFJ and order the CD there, or call 1-734-662-1730. That's 1-734-662-1730, and you can order by phone. The title of the CD is Journey Through Advent. I wanted to give you, as I've said in the past week, I wanted to give you an opportunity to be able to listen and re-listen and re-listen until the Word of God, the power of the Word of God in these readings goes, as I put it, from your head to your heart. That it begins to, it's not just information, but you're receiving the living Word of God that can change your life, honestly. So I urge you, if you can, the CD, as I said, is available for purchase either on our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ, or dial 1-734-662-1730 and order by phone. Brothers and sisters, we're now into this second full week of Advent. The Lord wants to bless you. The Lord wants His Word to till the soil of your heart. He wants His Word to be like seed that's planted in you and that really does take root and bear fruit for God's glory and for your salvation and mine. So let's take a look at the first reading for today. The first reading is taken from the prophet Isaiah, chapter 35, verses 1 to 10. The desert and the parched land will exult. The steppe will rejoice and bloom. They will bloom with abundant flowers and rejoice with joyful song. The glory of Lebanon will be given to them, the splendor of Carmel and Sharon. They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. This is the prophet speaking, that the desert and the parched land will exult, that everything will become fruitful and bear fruit. That's what God wants to do in our lives. That just as the land can be fertilized and the land can yield fruit even after it's been parched, if it's cared for rightly, it again can produce food a hundredfold. Well, how much more is that true in our lives, in your life and in mine? They will see the glory of the Lord, the splendor of our God. Strengthen the hands that are feeble. Make firm the knees that are weak. Say to those whose hearts are frightened, be strong, fear not. Here is your God. He comes with vindication. With divine recompense, He comes to save you. Then will the eyes of the blind be opened, the ears of the deaf be cleared. Then will the lame leap like a stag. Then the tongue of the mute will sing. Streams will burst forth in the desert and rivers in the steppe. Apply this to your life. The burning sands will become pools, and the thirsty ground will become springs of water. The abode where jackals lurk will be a marsh for the reed and the papyrus. A highway will be there, called the Holy Way. No one unclean may pass over it, nor fools go astray on it. No lion will be there, nor beast of prey go up to be met upon it. It is for those with a journey to make, and you and I have a journey to make. And on it the redeemed will walk. Those whom the Lord has ransomed will return and enter Zion singing, crowned with everlasting joy. This is what God has for you. If you repent for your sin, if you turn to Him, if you ask Him to lead you, if you follow his commandments, this is what he promises you. Those whom the Lord has ransomed will return and enter Zion singing, crowned with everlasting joy. They will meet with joy and gladness. Sorrow and mourning will flee. That's what God has for us. Psalm 85, our God will come to save us. Pray that psalm today. Pray it out loud, especially if you're carrying a heavy cross right now. Proclaim the truth. Even if all the circumstances seem to negate this truth, our God will come to save us if we put our trust in him, if we follow him. He will give light and life to us. That's his promise. Why did the Messiah come? To save us, to save you, to draw you close to himself, to bring you to a place of protection and security in your heart, your soul, your body, your spirit. That's what God wants to do for you. The Alleluia verse today before the gospel is, behold, the King will come, the Lord of the earth, and he himself will lift the yoke of our captivity. We're made captive by sin. We're made captive by our own selfishness, by our own fears, by our own anger and hatred and bitterness. God wants to change that. He wants to give us new life. This baby comes as the Messiah to save you forever. Even if you're the worst of the sinners on the face of the earth, you still have an opportunity to say, Lord, will you please forgive me? And the Lord will say yes and draw you to himself and give you new life if you follow him. Please don't let this Advent go by without receiving the grace that God has for you. And the Gospel of Luke, chapter 5, verses 17 to 26. One day, as Jesus was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and Jerusalem were sitting there, and the power of the Lord was with him for healing. So here he's preaching. The Pharisees, the teachers of the law, they don't take to him very well. And so they're looking for mistakes. They're looking to criticize. They're looking to excuse. They're looking to get rid of him. Have you ever been in an environment where you know there's opposition toward you? You know how that feels. Well, it was all around Jesus. And some men, Jesus has a sense that the Father is with him for healing, that he's to heal. And some men brought on a stretcher a man who was paralyzed. They were trying to bring him in and set him in his presence. But not finding a way to bring him in because of the crowd, look what they did. They went up on the roof and lowered him on the stretcher through the tiles into the middle in front of Jesus. Did that poor man who was injured and on a stretcher, that poor man had really some marvelous friends. They went way out of their way to bring Jesus to their friend and to bring their friend to Jesus. To take some tiles off the roof and lower him down right in front of Jesus. I don't know about you, but I might have been embarrassed. Yet I think my embarrassment would have been lessened by the knowledge of what friends I had who would do anything for me. How much do you reach out to those who are in need? What can you do for the poor and the needy? What kind of kindness can you work today? Because within the heart of every person who needs to be ministered to, Jesus is there. He's told us when we serve them, we serve him. Not finding a way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on the stretcher through the tiles into the middle in front of Jesus. Now look at this next verse. When Jesus saw their faith, not the faith of the man who needed to be healed, though I'm sure there was something there, but when Jesus saw their faith, he said, as for you, your sins are forgiven. He gave them what no one else could ever give them: forgiveness, reconciliation, restoration. God has that for each one of us in Christ if we seek him and repent. And then the scribes and Pharisees began to ask themselves, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who but God alone can forgive sins? In other words, who do you think you are? And Jesus knew their thoughts. And he said to them in reply, he knew their thoughts, so he answers their thoughts. What are you thinking in your hearts? Which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven, or to say rise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. See, that was what was most important. He said to the one who was paralyzed, I say to you, rise, pick up your stretcher, and go home. He stood up immediately before them, picked up what he had been lying on, and went home glorifying God. Then astonishment seized them all, and they glorified God. And struck with awe, they said, we have seen incredible things today. Now, once they'd seen that incredible work, what's the next step? The next step would be to listen to Jesus' teaching. The next step would be to say, is this the Messiah? Is this the longed-for one? I mean, the people had prayed for thousands of years for the Messiah to come. And they didn't know when. And so now they're asking themselves, because Jesus is not only preaching and teaching in a way that people experience understanding. They want to listen to him. They're drawn to him. But then he heals them physically. He reaches out to them. He doesn't, this is not a good way to say it, but he doesn't just care for the soul. The soul's what's most important. But he doesn't just care for what is most important. He cares for what is so important to a human being, is our body. Our body is our means of getting around. Our body is our means of living, of working, of loving, of caring for others. Our body's this vehicle, and what an incredible blessing that God would heal this man's body. Brothers and sisters, there are all kinds of ways that God wants to heal. But one of the ways in which you can open your heart to receive healing, if there is anyone you haven't forgiven in life, I urge you, ask God for the grace to forgive them, just to decide to put the past away. It's a grace from God. It's a decision, but it's also a great grace from God. And when those shackles of unforgiveness fall from you, and sometimes we don't know how shackled we are with unforgiveness, but if you forgive in God's name, God will set you free, and he will bless you abundantly. Open your heart to him this Advent. Prepare your heart to receive him at Christmas. God bless you. For the four Sundays of Advent, I have put four meditations on a CD which is available for purchase. It's entitled Journey Through Advent. To order, go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ, and order the CD there. Again, the title, Journey Through Advent. Or call 1-734-662-1730 and order by phone.